And you might think, like, I'm just a guy that sits in the back and it's quiet and that does this, and, you know. But we don't know what the Lord always has for us. And I think what I've seen of Mike, and maybe it's a love on Mike morning, but just how he's opened up his heart and allowed God to come and move and put him into places where naturally he wouldn't put himself in. And that's a testimony, Mike, and something that should encourage every one of us. Actually, God has got something like that for us too. It will look different, but he's got something for us. And so over this last few weeks, we've been looking at our lives and looking at which areas in our lives have in some ways been hidden and been held back from God. And through Mervis and what the Lord has been doing in him, we looked and we wanted to go, like, cool, Lord, here are the places that we've been holding on to, the places that we kind of like kept a little bit in the dark because we are scared of what it's going to sound like, scared of what people are going to say, scared of, God, what you are going to say. And over this last while, we've been encouraging one another to step out into the light and to step out and surrender our lives. And last week, we had this wonderful skit called Devil at the Door. And it's a very plain and simple picture, but a picture that hits home to the greatest of degree. And so maybe you're visiting here with us this morning, or you're listening to this on, you know, whatever, MP3 or something like that. That was like a little bit, I don't think that happens anymore, MP3s. Sorry, guys. I'm older than what I look. But the skit was this. We had Talita, and she was a wonderful actress here, full of life. She had this house, and this house represented her life. And in this house, there was rooms, three rooms. And these areas were so precious to her. And then the devil comes, and he comes knocking. And as he knocks, barges into the house and just starts devastating the house. And it leaves her in this place of where the things that were precious to her, the things that she treasured, were all smashed, and, you know, it was just the makar. And the devil leaves. And that is oftentimes how it feels like when life goes upside down. It feels like you hardly heard a knock, you hardly heard the doorbell, and all of a sudden, it is just devastation around you. And you go, how did we get here? Why is everything that I love, everything that I cared for, everything that I treasure, why is it all of a sudden broken? How do we fix this? And then the next person comes and rings the doorbell, and it's Jesus. And as much as it's Jesus, she was very reluctant to let him in, because she knew the state of what her house was like. She's like, look, this is not the place for people to come into. Like, I want it nice and neat and clean, and, you know, the devil was just here. And then she kind of invites Jesus into the living room, and he helps her clean up. And before you know it, here comes the pesky little devil, comes in, barges into the house, devastates the house. But the room where Jesus was left, he kind of just skips around it, until we see in the end where Jesus, where Talita gives the keys of her house to Jesus. And the devil, when he barges in, realizes that I'm not welcome here. And as simple as this picture is, it is so true for our lives. The fears that we have to open up, to let go of things. We know God is good. We sang it this morning. We know He is good. We've read the scriptures. We hear a church because, hey, God is good. Jesus is alive. Yet at the same time, we're quite happy to just keep Him in one room. And the devil comes in and breaks things and devastates our lives. And so this illustration is so simple, yet it's so challenging for us to actually bring our lives to the Lord and say, Lord, we come and we surrender our lives. We give it to you. Because somehow in between, we still kind of like feel like we're going to lose something. I think that picture that Adam had this morning of coming out of the jail and realizing where this would have gone, but it didn't. I've been in jail once as well. And I'm telling you, it's not a fun experience. And when you get out, then like I was very young, and they were trying, my parents and my friends' parents were trying to make a point because we were doing stuff we were not supposed to be doing. But when you stand there and this lady, officer, constable, takes your shoelaces and takes your belt, like you get a real skrik for where is this going? The thing is this, as much as that's in the natural world, in the spiritual world, we're all standing accused and guilty. But Jesus stands next to us and goes, I'll pay for him. I pay the price. It's not that there's no price. No, there was a great price. But it's a price that we didn't have to pay. It's a place where Jesus opened up the door and say, I will take this price on your behalf. Go free. And that feeling of freedom is something one cannot explain to someone. It's something that you have to taste. It's something that you have to experience. But somehow, along this line, the enemy comes and lies to us and is able to steal even that feeling of freedom away from us. This morning, I want to kind of like look at that. What are the things that keep us from surrendering? How the enemy comes and steals, kills, destroys, lies to us to keep us from surrendering, to keep us from giving over to God, to keep us from actually walking out into the freedom that God has made available for us. Because I want to tell you, He did. His heart is for you and for me to be free. And by free, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have trouble or you're not going to have difficult things happening. No, but it means that the place that you stand on is no longer a ground that can be shaken, but that you actually have a firm stance and that you have the right approach to how the enemy is coming to you. I want to say this morning. The enemy is hell-bent. Hell-bent. On breaking, stealing, and destroying your life. And here is the crazy thing about it. He's hell-bent on stealing, breaking, destroying your life. And you know what? It's not even about you. It's not because you are so unique and special that he really just wants to get you. You are just, in some ways, cannon fodder for what his actual aim is. Is he absolutely hates God. He hates everything that God has created, that God has touched, that God has named, that God has done, that God is doing. That's why he hates you. And so every step that we take towards God, he's going like, God, you think this person, but I'm going to show you. And it's not even about the person. It's he wants to get at God. Which makes this even worse. Because we can sometimes find so much identity in the fact that the enemy is coming for us. Find so much identity in the fact that life is difficult. That things are struggling. We make it about ourselves. We want to say to you, the enemy is not after you for you. He's after you because of God. Because of God's plan for your life. Because of God's heart towards you. Because of how much God loves you. It's that typical scene in that whatever movie, action movie. The guy just get whoever is this guy loves. Like Taken, you know, you've taken my daughter, you know, I'm coming for you kind of thing. And he's hoping that God is going to do that. But God has already done it. God has already crushed him. We're waiting for the final blow. But I'm going a bit wayside now. So let's just get back. Forget about the movies. And so this morning, I want to come and I want to speak hope to you. Because the enemy wants to steal hope. The enemy wants to take your eyes off God and onto yourself. And this morning, I believe God wants to come and strengthen you. And God wants to come and encourage you so that you can see that really what we sang here this morning, that He truly is good. And He's not good because He's done anything for me. He's good. And so therefore, I will give Him everything because I know it's good in His hands. It's safe in His hands. Amen? So let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you this morning that for each and every one of us here this morning, that you have come and you have made a way for us to enter into your presence. That we stand here this morning as those who have been found guilty, as those who have trespassed, as those who have fallen short, God. But you, Lord Jesus, you have come and you've paid the price. So that in order for us to be set free, to walk out and to live in the goodness, the grace, the forgiveness, the mercy that you have made available for us. And so we pray for that this morning, God. I pray that there would be a stepping out this morning into the hope that you've given us, into the forgiveness, into the setting free, into the grace that you're giving to enable us to stand firm in this life. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the thing is about the devil, and I think it's a very natural thing, is when you have an enemy, it is of benefit, great benefit, if you get to know the schemes of the enemy. Because then it means you can prepare. It means that you can adjust your stance. And so I was a wrestler, most of you know that. And I want to say to you, like, there were certain things that was drilled into me to not even think about it, just to be ready. Where if someone would come to me, like, I would always be able to stand firm. Because, and it's not even something that I think, okay, remember to do this, remember to do that, remember to do. No, it's just the reaction of it is, it's been drilled into me so many times. And so when I used to be younger and used to be fitter and used to be like wrestling, it's like when I was standing there waiting for that whistle to blow, there was one thing that I was sure of, that this guy that's my opponent, no matter how he comes to me, he's not going to move me. No matter how he comes to me, he's not going to grab my legs. Because there was a certain things that was drilled into me in order to stand firm, to hold my ground, and to play my game and not his game. And so when we face the enemy, these things are important. And throughout Scripture, there's consistently this slant towards Scripture that God has called us, God has given us everything that we need in order to stand firm. In order for our feet not to be moved. Jesus has given us the foundation. He's the rock upon which we stand. And that firms up the ground. But then he gives us his armor. He gives us understanding. He gives us salvation. He gives us grace so that we can stand firm, that as the enemy comes, that we are not knocked off, that we are not moved, but that we hold the line what God has given us. And so this morning, that's some of the things that I want to look at. And so one of the first things that is important for us to understand, in John 8, Jesus speaks. So I'm not going to go up there. I want to encourage you to go read the scripture. But in John 8, Jesus speaks and he calls out Satan and he says that he's the father of lies. He's the father of lies. We see in the very first account of where man meets with the enemy, the first thing that happens is what? He lies. Did God really say, God just wants you to not be like him? He lies. And what happens to Eve? Falls for the lie. And that cycle throughout Scripture is just cycling over, cycling over, cycling over. How many of you had that this experience of where you walk into the room or you have a conversation with someone, and while they are speaking to you, all that you can think is, man, this person really doesn't like me. They haven't said it. They haven't shown it. It's just your experience of it. It's something that connects you with a previous experience you had of someone that was similar. But then later on, as you get to know the person, you get to that moment of going like, oh, man, Dave, I used to really think that you don't like me because of X, Y, and Z. And Dave is like, never. Like, has it ever happened to you? Yeah. Why? It's not just you that are blind or stupid or emotionally blunt. No. We consistently have an enemy that is lying to us. And the more we give space to that voice, the more voice, or the more space that that voice have in our lives, in our connections, in our relationships. And this is his nature. There's another scripture, I can't now remember the scripture. I think it's in Romans somewhere, where it says that the language of the devil is lies. The language of the devil is lies. And so for you and for me, there's a great potential that even here this morning, that without knowing it, we are sitting with certain language and certain lies that have been fed to us from the devil. Because that's the way he works. Now, I want to look at why does he do that? Well, before we get there, in 2 Corinthians 2, Paul is urging the believers, and there's kind of like a brother that have sinned, and in that place of where the person has sinned, Paul encourages the believers to forgive. To forgive this brother, to let him back in. And he says this to them in verse 11. He says, so that Satan would not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. And so the devil lies. There we go. The devil lies. And then as he lies, he tries to separate. He tries to divide. Again, something that we see from Genesis, where the enemy comes into the garden, his first point of contact is he lies about who God is, but what God's plan is, all with the heart of separating us from God, us from one another. And so Paul speaks here and he says to the believers, hey, you have to believe. You have to forgive. Look at what we've been preaching. Look at Christ and what Christ has done for you. And he says, I'm saying this to you so that the devil might not outsmart you. We are not ignorant to his approach, to his schemes, to his way of attacking. See, Satan comes and he wants to destroy our hope. He's bent on breaking every bit of light that is in us that we get to hold on to, that we get to see. He wants us to let go of the expectation even that God saves. If I've got to ask this question, who here, and I don't need you to put your hands up, but who here has ever felt like, God, this thing, you can't save this. This thing, you can't take away from me. You can't help me out of this. Oh, God, you can maybe, but God, your people will never forgive me. Your people won't make space. Can I tell you? I've thought like that. There's times that I've got to take my heart and go, okay, God, I feel like I can't say this because who will understand? Who will care? The feeling is more like when you bring that thing out that someone would say, ha, I knew it. And so we sit with these thoughts. And the enemy comes, and what he's been doing is drip feeding to us that God doesn't save, that God doesn't redeem, that God doesn't make new. And we just eat it up like Cocoa Pops. And the moment what happens is, the moment our expectations gets disappointment, where it gets kind of like, not disappointed, but gets filtered into with this lie, and we lose the expectation for God to save us, for His people to love us, for His people to forgive us, we find ourselves in a very lonely place. I want to say the loneliest place on earth. And that is not God's heart. So I want to look at this. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. We're going to just read through the scripture, and then we're going to look at a couple of just observations. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In His kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by the means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered for a little while, He will restore, support, and strengthen you. He will place you on a firm foundation. All power to Him forever. Amen. And so a couple of things that we can take from the scripture. First thing, it is clear that the enemy comes to isolate. Why am I saying that? First thing. Give all your worries and cares to God. He cares for you. Do you know how much we sit with cares and worries? Because we think God doesn't really care for us. We think God is just supposed to know it because it's here in our thoughts. Just like we think of our spouse or our friends. They're supposed to know I'm struggling. But we don't actually communicate, I'm struggling. Communicate, I'm worrying. Communicate, this is what's happening. Why? Because the moment we feel like we're going to say it, we don't know how it's going to hit on the other side. And the enemy comes in to say to us, yep, I don't know if God wants to hear that. God is quite a busy guy, you know. He's got a lot to do. That friend, your community leader, elders, deacons, the church people, man, they've got a lot of other stuff that they're doing. And so the encouragement here to us through Peter is like, hey, God cares about you. Stop thinking you're alone. And then he carries on and he says this. He says, stay alert. He wouldn't say stay alert if you didn't need to stay alert. Stay alert. The enemy is looking around. He's like a roaring lion. He's waiting to devour someone, waiting to pounce on you. Now, if you ever watch any kind of Discovery Channel or National Geographic or whatever else, you will see that the lions, they hunt in a pack, but they hunt in order to isolate one. And the moment one is isolated, it's party time. Do you think that we are any different? The moment we start pulling ourselves away, even when good things happen around us, we start questioning it. We start questioning people. We start questioning God. And it's like the enemy gets his nails and his teeth into us. And what it is, something, even something good that happens around us, supposed to pull us in, pushes us away. Until the moment that we go, oh, everyone is fake. Nobody really cares. I knew it. We build our feelings on that lie. Last thing with regards to feeling alone. He says in verse 9, stand firm against him, be strong in faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. How many times when you really get to that point of where you can't hold this in anymore, you actually share, this is what's happening. And then someone else goes, oh, the same thing. Or you hold back what's happening. And you're in community. And someone goes, yo, I really had a difficult week. These are the things that I'm struggling with. And without acknowledging it, in your heart, you go like, really? Really? Wesley also feels like that? Really? I thought he's just this happy guy that's got nothing to worry about. I'm just joking. I'm just using him as an example. But do you agree with me? And he encourages us here. Hey, because why? It's not about you. It's not about you and what you are facing. It's about God getting the glory that's towards him. And the enemy will devastate and lie and kill and destroy anyone that is connected to God. And so everyone that is part of what God is doing, of God's family, of the price that Jesus paid for, everyone connected to that will experience an enemy that's coming to steal, coming to kill, coming to destroy. Stand firm. All the believers are facing the same kind of struggles that you are. So, I'm finishing up. Good. Four more just observations. The second thing. Paul encourages us to surrender our lives. Especially the ones that's hidden. And he says it with this. All your worries and anxieties, present it to the Lord, for he cares for you. The one thing that no one sees, that no one knows about is the worries and the cares inside of me, inside of you. Yet somehow, and I think that word that Don Vey brought this morning, that's the very thing. As we worry and these fears and things inside of us, that we just end up thinking, I'm the only one. And unless we bring these things to God because He cares for you, that worry, that anxiety cannot be dealt with. And so when we're talking about devil at the door and surrendering the rooms in our hearts, those are the very things. Because we lock the room and it's like that thing is there, but it's festering, it's got a smell to it, it influences the whole house. And God is saying, bring those things to me. I care for you. Third thing. The enemy wants to lie to us, feel to us like there's no one else. No one else knows, no one else understands, no one else cares. Everyone is going to pounce on me. I'm alone, and when I fall, no one else is there to pick me up. Stand firm against them. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. And I know I'm saying this over and over, but there's a reason why. Because over and over we hear this and we ignore it. We hold back and sit with the same things that are plaguing us year after year, hoping, oh, I hope something there would change so that I can just step into it and it will be different. But the reality is, whatever is there, the moment I step into it, because I haven't changed, because I haven't done anything different, I will just change whatever this is again, because it's still the lens that I'm seeing through. Fourth thing. Peter comes and he shows the exact opposite, that we've been added to family. And that everyone is experiencing the same onslaught. So where we think we're alone, what Peter shows us here, no, we're part of something bigger. We're part of something more. And so where the enemy says to you, you know what? You are alone. No, no, no. I heard this morning at church that God took a guy and he saved his life where he was meant for jail and meant for other things. I can see, man, he's now an elder in the church. God, if God can do it for him, God can do it for me. And there's so many stories here in us as a people of places where God has saved, places where God have redeemed, places where the moments where things were like dire. If I think of Stefan, the way God has changed his life. A young man, still his whole life in front of him. The way God has changed his life. I go, yo, God, I'm experiencing some difficult things, but man, look at what you've done in his life. That stirs me up. It makes me go like, I'm not alone in this. There's a family that I've been added. It enables me to say, let me then come and bring my worries. Let me come and open up about the areas that I don't want to surrender. Even with a guy like Marvis, like all that's been given to him is a love and forgiveness and acceptance and people reaching out to him and saying like, we are standing with you. We are fighting with you. Man, if that's not a picture of Jesus, what is? Where in the world, if you step wrong, you're fired, you're out. Go fix your problem somewhere else. In the kingdom, it's like we are together. So the enemy lies to us because he wants to consistently separate us from one another. And Peter is saying, yeah, no. Understand this, everyone all around is facing the same kind of troubles that you are. And then lastly, in his kindness, verse 10, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. That is such a big statement. Because so easily we can walk this life and thinking, God is asking me to change this, give that, do this, don't do that. It's all just for God. And it almost like makes this kind of a yucky thing in our hearts. Where the very thing that God wanted to do, and we see it from the beginning, is God wanted to share his glory. God wanted to share his life. God wanted to share what he found within himself. He wanted to share it with us, his creation. And so here where we are at today, the reason why we are saying, hey, surrender your life. Let God take hold of it. It's not so that you can just go, oh, look at what you did. Look what you... No, it's so that we can be free from how those things bind us, pull us down, darken our days, so that we can break free from those things, and so that we can step into that light of God, where God shares his glory with people that don't deserve it, that can't earn it, that can't make their way in it. They just get it for free in some ways, and in abundance. Where God shares his glory, his love, his grace, his forgiveness with us, people that are undeserved of this. So this morning, as we closing up, my prayer really is that we would hear this. And what we see, and it's like in sort of with that scripture in 1 Peter 5 that says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus, so that after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, he will support and strengthen you. He will place you on a firm foundation that we're able to stand in this life. And not stand so that we can say, look at how strong I am. Look at what a good Christian I am. Because the very foundation that we stand on is that we couldn't do it, but he has done it. We couldn't earn it, but he has given it. And as we stand firm, we become the reflection. We become that mirror image of Jesus, of what he's able to do. Because I want to say to you, as much as you think that your life and your problems and like life is just about sorting out all these things, the enemy is lying to you. God made you, created you, formed you in your mother's womb in order for you to walk out the plans and the purposes that will show to his glory. That's why you are here. You're not here to survive life. You're here to walk in the plans that God has for you. And those plans are not just to survive, but it's actually to show who he is to the world out there. And for that, God wants you to stand firm. Because if you can stand firm, someone else can stand firm. So maybe there where you're at. I want to ask you just to close your eyes.